Last weekend, my niece, Laura, got married. And while I wasn't able to be there in person, I was able to witness the ceremony on Zoom. Who would have thought a year ago we would be doing that? But Ron was able to put it right up on our TV screen, and it was wonderful to feel like we could celebrate with her on her special day. Now, I just want to say a word about Laura, who is special to me for many different reasons. First, her parents honored me by naming her Laura Suzanne. I also had the privilege of christening her. Now, I know we disciples do not practice infant baptism, but I was invited by my sister to the Methodist church that we both grew up in to perform the ceremony, and so I did. And as I placed water that I had saved from a year before when I had traveled to the Holy Land, water from the River Jordan, and I placed that water on her tiny head, it was a holy moment as we remembered God's goodness and love that is present with us before you and I have even a chance to do a thing. Now, Laura also has two big brothers. And consequently, she, as the only girl, grew up to be quite the tomboy. I'm going to put some pictures up here for you to see. She is an avid marathon runner. And this picture that you're seeing right now was actually taken on her wedding day. She did an 18K marathon run before she got married. She is also a black belt in karate. She is a two-time national champion collegiate boxer, and she can easily take down a person who is twice her size. So the message to the wise is, don't mess with my niece. She is, at the same time, one of the most caring and giving people I know. She has served as a mentor to at-risk children. She is currently working on her second degree in nursing, serving those with unimaginable pain in the burn unit at Shands Hospital, that famous hospital in Gainesville, Florida. Strong, tough, and compassionate, Laura is an amazing human being, and I am incredibly proud of her. So getting back to the wedding, and here's a picture of her. She's so pretty, her wedding picture. Even in what one of my colleagues would be calling the COVIDa life that we are living in, it was so wonderful to be included as part of Laura's special day and her journey. As I listened to Ravi and her share their vows, describing their love and appreciation for the gifts each brings to the relationship, I was struck by the transparency and the authenticity that they shared, very intimate things that they shared with all of us, citing not only each other's strengths, but also their growing edges, and dedicating themselves with their vows, their pinky swears, as Laura called them, to grow together in their love and in their service to the world. As I listened to their vows, it made me think of our theme for today, how love and compassion have the power to transform lives. Will you pray with me? Loving and gracious God, we give you our thanks this day for the love that you have for us that goes beyond our imagining, and for the compassion that you offer to us, especially through the life and ministry of Jesus the Christ. And I pray, God, as we continue to meditate upon words of scripture this morning, that the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts might be pleasing and acceptable in your sight. For you, O God, are our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Our scripture today from Luke 8 is a short one, just three verses long, but it is actually a part of a larger section from Luke's gospel. Now, why do I say that? Well, our text today begins with the words, soon afterwards, which takes us back to the seventh chapter where Jesus is having dinner with Simon the Pharisee. And as he is there having dinner at the table, a woman who is described as a sinner comes in, opens an expensive alabaster jar of ointment, and she anoints Jesus' feet. Simon thinks to himself, if this man was really a prophet, he would know what kind of woman this is, that she is a sinner. And Jesus, who of course is a prophet and so much more, knowing what Simon is thinking, tells a parable of a creditor with two debtors who both owe him money, one who in fact owes 10 times more than the other, but neither of them has the money to pay off their debt, and so the creditor decides to cancel it, to forgive the debt. Then Jesus asks, which one will love the creditor more? Simon replies, well, I suppose the one with the greater debt. And Jesus says, bingo. Then turning to the woman, Jesus asks Simon, do you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet, but she has bathed my feet with her tears and has dried them with her hair. You gave me no kiss, but from the time I came in, she has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not anoint my head with oil, but she has anointed my feet with ointment. Therefore, I tell you, her sins, though many, have been forgiven, and consequently, she has shown great love. But to the one to whom little is forgiven, that one loves little. And while these words were amazing to the group of people who were hearing them and who had gathered for the meal, they still didn't get it, because all they could say is, who is this who forgives sins? It's then that we come to our text today in chapter 8, where soon afterwards, Jesus goes on through the cities and villages proclaiming good news of the kingdom of God. And then Luke says that the 12 were with him, and of course we identified those 12 as the disciples listed by name in the Gospels, Peter, Andrew, James, John, Matthew, and all the rest. But here we see in verse 2 that there are others that are named as part of this inner circle traveling with Jesus. And lo and behold, they are women. Mary Magdalene, Joanna, and Susanna are all specifically named. Mary is described as one who had a lot of problems. Through Jesus, we are told 7 demons were cast out of her. And you may remember last week we talked about how medically or psychologically diagnosed illnesses today that we would know today were attributed to demons during biblical times because they just didn't have the language or the science to understand it in any other way. Regardless, Mary has been healed of much through the compassionate love of Jesus. And then there's Joanna. She has also been healed by Jesus, though we don't know any specifics of what that healing was. But we do know something about her. She is the wife of King Herod's manager or steward, Cusa, a high-ranking official who would have been quite wealthy. And then there's Susanna, who maybe was so well known in Luke's community, there was no need for any further description. These women, along with many others, were with Jesus, providing support for his ministry. They were disciples, followers of Jesus, who had been healed of disease and unclean spirits, and like the woman in chapter 7, responded to Jesus' compassion with gratitude, service, and their treasure. Now, I want to take a quick moment to acknowledge how strange this whole thing is. And that's because travel in the first century for something other than conventional reasons like going to a religious feast or visiting one's family or business was considered deviant. That would have been true for the men who followed Jesus, who left everything and just went and followed him. But for women to leave behind their traditional family responsibilities, that no doubt would have raised significant red flags, scrutiny, and not a few raised eyebrows about what was really going on here. Another important theme in these verses is the women's use of wealth and possessions. These women give not only of their presence and their time, but they support the ministry of Jesus through their financial resources. this was a mark of discipleship, one that for some of us, especially in first world living, may find it difficult to get our heads around. But in this text, it points as evidence of a transformed life, a transformation that moves people from focus on self to the service of others for the sake of the gospel. And that leads me to a question today. What evidence of our encounter with Jesus shows up in our lives? In what ways is our relationship with God growing and transforming and changing us? Because here's the thing. What is inside us, whatever it is, will always reveal itself in how we show up in the world. You know, the gospel declares that through Jesus, God accepts us just as we are, that there's nothing that you and I could ever do to be able to earn the unconditional love of God. And we really believe that at Florence Christian Church. Our mission is about celebrating God's welcome to everyone, that with abundant love, grace, and acceptance, we come to God. But that's only part of the good news story. The other part, after you and I have experienced God's love and compassion and healing, is about beginning to travel with Jesus, to follow him on the spiritual journey. And as we do, to see our lives changed. Jesus Christ came to change our lives, to transform our lives. Why? So that you and I can become more like him. So that you and I can experience the life he came to give us. A life not just to survive, but as the song goes, to thrive. That life abundant. Mark Allen Powell, addressing a group of Lutherans, talked about his work with the poor in an inner city ministry. And he said this. If you tell them Jesus accepts you just the way you are, they will respond, well, that's very nice of him, but the fact is that I really don't like being the way I am. My life isn't good. It's nice that Jesus loves me even though I'm poor and hungry and my life is a mess, but you know what really good news would be? Really good news would be if he changed my life so that I don't have to live this way. Just as Jesus offered compassion and healing for the women in our scripture reading today, you and I need that same love and compassion that leads to transformation, to becoming more and more like Jesus. Not just for our own sake, but for the sake of those who need to know that love of God for themselves. As we travel with Jesus, we become more and more like him as we offer compassion to others. Brothers and sisters, the love and compassion of God are intended to lead us to change, to transformation. It's not about a moment in time when we say, I believe and I get a ticket to heaven and I can just continue to live my life the way I've always been living it. It is about an ongoing relationship. One that is dynamic and growing and becoming as you and I journey with Jesus. I really thought about that as I reflected on something that Ravi said in his vows to Laura this last week. And I asked my sister and she gave me the written vows. Here's what he said. He said, I promise to always be there for you. Through triumphs and joy, through hardships and sorrow. I promise not to rush the moments we spend together. I promise to listen, but also to challenge, as I know you'll do for me. I promise to always be in your corner, not only because I'm not allowed in the boxing ring with you. I promise to savor every meal we share together and to wash every dish you dirty. That's his job. When we walk out of this garden and a new chapter of our life begins together, I promise to respect you, to encourage you and to love you for the rest of my life. I can't promise to know where we will be a year from now, or 5 or 10 or 50, but I know I'll love every minute that I get to spend on this lifetime adventure with you. I love you, Laura. Those beautiful words have so much meaning, not only to Ravi and Laura, but to you and me, as we consider our relationship, our lifelong adventure with the one Paul called bridegroom, who loves us unconditionally, the one who promises to be with us through every triumph and joy, through every hardship and sorrow, the one who accepts us and will not rush us to grow beyond what we are able, but also who will challenge us to grow still. We have one who is in our corner, who savors our shared meals, and who promises to clean up what's dirty with loving grace and forgiveness. Every minute of every day, this one will love us, be with us, and through compassion, transform us from the inside out, so that we too can offer that compassion that transforms the world. May it be so. May it be so for our lives. May it be so for our relationships. May it be so, so that the world who so needs God's love and transformation can receive that compassion. And the people of God said, amen and amen.